Like you all to stand and join me in the flag salute, please. Salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Excuse me. Have one announcement of action taken in closed session. By unanimous vote, the board by unanimous roll call vote passed resolution number 2016-17/11, release of temporary certificated employees, including probation zero, and authorizing the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notifications. Next, we have the student representative. Oh, before we go any farther, I would like to welcome our two new board members, Mr. Paul Allison and Ms. Susan Scott. Thank you. Sorry about that. Kathy?
Hello. So for Marysville High School's board report, for the month of December in 2016, Marysville High School's ASB has or will put on the following events. The week of the 5th through the 9th of December, Marysville High School had a holiday dress-up week. Monday was pajama day, Tuesday was stuffed animal day, Wednesday was ugly sweater day, Thursday it was a holiday sock day, and Friday was red and green day. For the month of December, they have been hosting their annual Adopt-A-Family. Clubs adopt a family that needs a little extra help for Christmas and bring in supplies they need. For the past 2 weeks in December, Marysville High School has set up the booth allowing students to make care home cards for the elderly. It is an incredible event we put on to celebrate holiday cheer and help students get involved. This year, Marysville High School juniors and seniors are piloting a new program called Link Crew. It is a program where the upperclassmen mentor freshmen. They've had two events before. One was a scavenger hunt, and the second was a get-together with cookies and cider. The most recent freshman event we put on was the Cocoa and Cram. They helped tutor them in different subjects for finals. Participation was successful, and the program has made an improvement in our school. Marysville has been doing their annual Angel Tree program. Individuals pick a group and child to buy them their wish gift. Many children have been blessed because of this. Next month, leadership and ASB are preparing for the basketball homecoming. For leadership for Lyndhurst High School's board report, the November canned food drive, in which we donate canned food to help those in need through a partnership with the Soy Can Foundation, ended with the Social Science Department taking the Golden Can Trophy with the most donated cans. In total, Lyndhurst High School donated over 1,300 cans. On November 14th, to the 18th, the leadership class passed out post-it notes so that the students, faculty, and staff of Lyndhurst High School could express their appreciation and give thanks as Thanksgiving Day approaches. All of the notes were placed on the wall of thanks in the cafeteria for everyone to share in the blessings. The Blazerettes performed the Marysville Christmas Parade on December 3rd. This Friday, an ugly sweater contest will be hosted during lunch. The winner of the ugliest sweater will be presented with a prize. Leadership class will be helping out this Friday night with the Soy Can Foundation's annual turkey and gift distribution. Students will be putting together packages of meals and gifts for needy families in our immediate area that will be delivered on Saturday to help ease the burden of the holiday season. The winter ball will be occurring after winter break on Saturday, January 21st. The price is $15 at the door, $10 pre-sale, and $8 with the ASB. Throughout the week, dress-up days are assigned to boost up school spirit.
Thank you, Kathy.
Good job.
And I think the superintendent has something to say.
Yes,
to you.
Kathy, we wanted to give you a little something to remember your time with us here on the board, and so I have a plaque that's here on behalf of the board and myself, which reads, Kathy Vang, Lyndhurst High School Student Representative. Thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as the student representative for the first semester of the 2016-17 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. And thank you very much, and we know that you'll be doing wonderful things in the future, and hopefully you'll look back on this time with us with fondness.
Kathy, thank you very much. Great job, Kathy.
It's like whack-a-mole.
Yeah. Next, we have presentation, student discipline, and attendance.
Oh, good. I get the microphone. I always like the microphone. I just want to promise that this PowerPoint is only 8 minutes and 20 seconds, okay? My name is Jolie Carrion, as you know or may not know, and I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to even work in Marysville Joint Unified School District. I truly believe it's one of the best districts, and we do the most for students. It brings a tear to my eye, seriously, the things that we do with the ROTC and the band and the free breakfasts and the transportation to get kids to school and just everybody going above and beyond to make sure that kids can get there and be fed. And, you know, the secretaries never even bat an eye when we bring a kid in at 9 o'clock in the morning and they, you know, go get them breakfast first thing to make sure they have something in their stomach. So, but I feel like we can make the most difference in this district. And so that's why I just want to say thank you for giving me another opportunity to be here. So this is finishing my 14th year in this office, and hopefully many more to come until I retire. So anyway, we'll get started. And
said you wouldn't make it so far. And ever since they said it, it's been hard. But never mind the night you had to cry, 'cause you had never let it go inside. You worked too hard and you know exactly what you want and need. So believe, and you can never give up. You can reach your goals. Just talk to your soul and say,
questions?
No. Seems like no questions. Thank you, Julie.
Okay.
Actually, Julie, I don't have a question, just a comment. I think it's so important of everything that you do. For many of our students, school is their safe haven. We get to feed them. We get them warm. They get to come, give them clothing. So without all the efforts that you and again, what Amber's done in our nutritional services to be able to feed kids for free, It just makes a world of difference for our students, so thank you very much.
Jolie, it's amazing the things that you do. As you know, I've been here over 50 years, and I've seen all these departments, different people, but never in that department, somebody that had the heart that you do. At a recent CSBA meeting, we get a chance to share, and they wanted to know what kind of problems we had in our district, and that's Clusa, Butte, Sutter, Yuba, part of Placer County. And I was happy to say, you know what? We have some problems. We got a lot of great things going. And they were impressed, and I talked about different programs we have. But what you do, and because I was one of those kids, and it makes a huge difference, and that's why I like serving on this board. But what you have done, you've made such a difference, and I've had people talk to me that you've had to deal with, got in your face, and they said you were very respectful, They appreciated talking to you even though their kid was in trouble. And if anybody's made a difference in kids' life, you're one of the many in this district that do. As you said, we are going in the right direction, and we're going to be one of the strongest districts in Northern California.
Absolutely.
And I do appreciate what you do deeply.
Thank you very much. And I'm sorry I have to leave early. My son's playing in the band at River Valley. So, Gay, thank you for letting me go and go see him play. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Sorry I'm going to miss Ryan's report. I'll read it at home.
There will be a quiz. Next item is to read the election results. We have to announce the election results pursuant to Elections Code 15400. Excuse me. Trustee Area 2, grand total results. Registrations, there were 8,980 registered voters. Ballot cast, 5,678. Turnout, 63.23%. For Anthony Danable, 1,240 votes. Susan Scott, 2,490 votes.
Yeah.
Trustee Area 4, grand total results. Registration, 10,748 registered voters. Ballot cast, 8,055 votes. Turnout, 74.94%. Results, Paul Allison, 2,199 votes. Terry Bilodeau, 1,650 votes. And Bernard Rex, 2,125 votes. And now I get to turn it over to the superintendent.
This is our annual organizational meeting for the Board of Trustees for the upcoming year. And let me, by way of reminder, read to you, since we only do this once a year, the process by which you may nominate an individual for an office. There is not a second to nominate a person to stand for election. So once you've nominated an individual, we don't need someone to say, I second that. So it's just make the nomination. After the nomination is presented, the board member nominated will accept or decline. So I will turn to the president's nominations and ask if they accept or decline that nomination. A motion is not made to close those nominations. After all the nominations, so there can be multiple people nominated for a single position, and each of those individuals have accepted or declined the nomination, then a motion for the first nominated candidate will take place. The first nomination that receives the majority vote in the affirmative is elected to the position, and no further votes will be taken on the remaining nominations. And with that,
I
will begin with the election of president, and I will open the floor for nominations for the office of president.
I would like to nominate Jeff Boom.
So Glenn Harris nominates Jeff Boom. Mr. Boom, do you accept or decline the nomination?
I would like to nominate Mr. Harris.
Randy Rasmussen nominated Glenn Harris, who just whispered in my ear. He is going to decline that nomination. Are there any other nominations for the office of president? Well, since we have one, let's start with the nomination of Jeff Boom. And as such, do I have a motion from the board to nominate Jeff Boom to be the president for the upcoming year?
I'd make a motion to accept Mr. Boom as the president of the board.
Is there a second for the nomination?
I'll second.
And that would be Jim Fleury made the second. It's been moved and seconded that Mr. Boom serve as the president of the board. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. And I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So that is a unanimous vote for Jeff Boom to be the president of the board for this upcoming year. And at this point, Mr. Boom, I'm going to have you come and take the seat here. And Mr. Harris will take your seat as he will walk us through the rest of the nominations for this evening.
your script for Vice President.
Okay, at this point, we will open the floor for nomination for Vice President. Mr. Harris, do you accept?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Harris has been nominated and accepts. Is there any other nominations? If there are no other nominations, is there a motion to accept Mr. Harris as the Vice President to the board?
Move to accept Mr. Harris as Vice President.
Is there a second?
Mr. Crawford made the motion.
Yes. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, 7 yes. Okay, congratulations, Mr. Harris. Now we will open the floor for nominations to clerk. Mr. Rasmussen, do you accept? Mr. Rasmussen accepts. Are there any other nominations? No other nominations. Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Crawford. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Now we will open the nominations for the trustee representative to the Special Education Council. Is there a nomination? Mr. Fleury, do you accept? Is there any other nominations?
Did he accept?
Yes, he accepted. There are no other nominations. Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. And all those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay, at this time, we will set the time, date, and place of the regular meetings. Recommend the board accept the schedule of board meeting dates shown on the special board reports. Are there any questions on that? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the date and time of the regular board meetings.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nobody opposed? 7 yes. At this time, we need to appoint the superintendent as secretary to the Board of Trustees. Is there any discussion? Is there a motion?
Motion to appoint superintendent as secretary.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Okay. Now we will authorize superintendent and designees to sign warrant contracts and other documents. Any discussion on that item? Is there a motion?
Motion to
accept by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Comments from board members. Start with Mr. Crawford.
Just that everyone, including all the new members of the board, Mr. Wood, congratulations and have a great holiday.
Mr. Allison.
I'd like to thank you guys for being here. And I will definitely do my best in the next 4 years to do what I can to help the district move forward.
Thank you. Ms. Scott?
I would just like to say that I look forward to a new school year and to do my best to serve and do the best that I can. And I feel honored to be able to sit here and serve on the school board. Thank you.
Mr. Fleury?
Pleased after the last CSBA to really understand the direction we're going with after listening to the other schools talk in our caucus.
Mr. Rasmussen?
Oh, I guess it's already on. I would just like to say it's a wonderful time of year to get to come out and see all the performances from the fine art, performing art folks at the schools, and to be able to see what our kids can do. It's just a great, great time to get to see all the involvement of our students. And so thank you from all the administrators and the teachers that make that happen. The kids just love doing that, and it's great to watch. So thank you.
Mr. Harris.
I have a couple comments. One is I am so pleased and honored that I get to stay on this dais for another 4 years. It's been a long time. It's been 20 years I've been sitting up here and been part of this district as a trustee member. And it's been very, very profitable for everybody. I think the whole 20 years that I can remember, we've gone through bad times, we've gone through good times, and you know, it's the employees from the bottom to the top that make this district what it is, and I am so proud to be part of this and to be part of the things that happen in this community. And with that, I would like to invite you all to the Covalot Christmas party Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Marysville High School cafeteria. If you want your heart warmed, come see that party. It will make you so happy to see those children and how they celebrate. But just everybody is welcome. Please come and just take a look. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd just like to say thank you to the other trustees for having the confidence and trust in me to serve as the chair for this year, and to thank Mr. Rex for the time that he served on the board. We're going to miss you. Congratulations to the new trustees. Good job. Thank you very much for, you know, coming or having to want to serve in the school district. Thank you very much for your dedication there, and wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And we'll move on with opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening, everybody. I just wanted to welcome our new board members. I'm glad to see you guys up there, and it was fun meeting both of you in our different ways. And along the lines of really cool things to look at, if you'd like to come by on Friday at 10 o'clock, my kindergarten students will be singing. You can see a different part of me. Thank you.
Thank you, Inga. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, California School Employees Association 326-648, Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. Public comments. We have one public comment card. Mr. Rex.
I would have given this little farewell address last meeting, but it was still up in the air who actually won the election, so I had to put it off. It's hard for me to believe it's been more than 40 years since I started working at Marysville High School as a teacher. And it's been an honor to have served our community these last 12 years. We have a super board, okay? I've learned so much over the years in school law, and a lot of reading for the new ones, okay? Tonight, I want to recognize and express my gratitude to the entire district staff who work diligently to ensure our schools are great places for the kids to learn and be safe. This is a team, and the board is a team, and all of the rest of us are connected by that team. And that includes maintenance and technology and print shop and transportation, classified, and you get to teachers and administrators. And then you get to the top, and you get to Ryan and Ramiro and Superintendent Todd. Other than that, I just want to say it's such an honor to have served and been president, voted by my peers as president. It's hard for me to convey just how much, you know, that everybody contributes in making school a success, and a lot of times with very little recognition. But it's been fun if the new board members, I know Jim and I, we used to visit transportation, and we'd go out and see what maintenance was doing, and we'd try to get to the schools, and we listen to the feedback, and we bring it back to the actual workers and the bus drivers and do their job and transportation. It's just an amazing system. And I think we've very much succeeded in the 12 years. We've gotten over some really tough times financially and the recession. And I think we're off to a good start. And I know it's going to continue. Thank you very much.
Okay, Superintendent's report, Dr. Todd.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to make a couple quick announcements, and then I have a bigger task for you. So this is the last board meeting for Judy Hart, Dwayne Triplett, and Jolie Carrion. They will be vacating those seats at the end of the meeting, only to be replaced by Jill Segner, Ashley Vetti, Jessica Guth, and Lenny Tate. They'll be keeping those chairs warm, but thank you so much for being a part of cabinet each week and for coming to the board meetings. Your input is essential and welcomed, and we're going to miss you. I know you're going to find ways to fill your Tuesday mornings, but we certainly will think of you, and I truly appreciate your time spent with us. That was the easy part. The harder part is the packet that I put at your place that has a paper clip on it, and it has the front sheet that says General Fund one-time money. As you will remember at our last meeting, for those of you who were here, we had a whole list of projects. And the documents you see behind the green sheet, the first set of stapled documents is the Tier 1 projects and the non-FMP Tier 1 projects. These are projects that have come to light. You know, it's just like when you, well, remodel a home and you think you're going to do this project and that's next, and suddenly something pops up that was unexpected. So this is a list of unexpected projects. What I'm going to be asking you tonight is to help Mr. DiGiulio and the facilities department and the maintenance department to start readying for projects that will be happening in the summer. Some things can happen now. Other things are going to take a little more time and development to be ready. So if I go back to the general fund one-time money sheet, Mr. DiGiulio, would you like to speak to this, or do you want me just to keep going?
I can speak to it. I can get on the computer, whatever you like, Ms. Superintendent.
Good answer.
Whatever you want, boss. So the second sheet in your packet, you'll kind of see we listed recommended potential projects, and kind of go through those projects and why we recommended them. The ADA compliance is an effort that we really should be doing on a continual basis, and the study itself is about 64,500, and we put plus because it would also be our option to have more money allocated to make some of those improvements, especially the low-hanging fruit. Some of the bigger ADA improvements, obviously, we won't be able to get to. But just like having a list of all our projects, it's we need to understand where we have the accessibility issues.
I don't mean to interrupt,
issues.
But if you look at the green, the two-page green document, it's page 2 that Mr. DiGiulio is referring to. It's the board input on page 2.
Sorry.
We gave you a lot of documents there to look at.
Sorry, boss. Next one is the district electrical system capacity safety upgrade. We have a lot of issues at school where we're at capacity or nearing capacity. So it's called an arc flash study. This would probably, again, come up with another laundry list of improvements. I'm sorry to keep making the list longer, but we need to have a full and thorough assessment of all our needs as a district. That's the only way we're going to be able to pinpoint and approach them and strategize them to actually tackle the ones that are in most need. And so this is something that we've been needing to get to for a long time. So we would definitely like to see some budget there. And again, 135 plus because the study plus maybe catch some of that low-hanging fruit. The district irrigation automation, we put 20,000, but realistically, 20 to 50,000 would probably be best. We want to automate. This, again, will help us our energy, but also make all our fields for our students in a much better thing. It's one of those things where sometimes, obviously, the fields can be a safety issue, but it's a low cost for a high benefit. We put legacy projects. The reason we put this 100,000 plus, again, we'd like to at least get 100,000. We have existing budget just to reopen the files and pay DSA fees, but sometimes these require improvements that are bigger and better, and this becomes a road bump in terms of getting other projects moving forward, because if we don't close out projects, we can't move on to the next. And unfortunately, the way DSA worked in the 90s and a little bit into pretty much last decade, till this decade, they let a lot of programs stay open. They're trying to get those closed. They're putting a lot of emphasis on this. So they can hold us up. We don't want to hold up progress. So not that we want to put money on old projects, but we need to. Then we have a foothill intermediate shade structure, and Mr. Rasmussen mentioned this last time. We're making some improvements to finish out the bond money up at Foothill for the hardscape and the basketball courts and whatnot. Some of the problems with the hardscape has to do with those trees. We'd have to remove some of those. They need shade. It moves it up the priority list due to the fact there won't be shade out there. And I know there's schools in our district that need shade. There would be virtually no shade at that campus. So for us, we feel the safety and the priority moved up on that. And then we put Lyndhurst High camera upgrades and repairs. There's over 100 cameras, I believe, at Lyndhurst. Some need to be updated in terms of they're not technology that will basically work the way it's supposed to nowadays. They need to be digital. And there's also just some that aren't working. Obviously, Lyndhurst is another campus, open campus, 24/7. You know, we have issues there, and we want to keep that campus that we've invested so much money into to make it, you know, keep it nice for our students. And that's just some of what we had. Obviously, it's, you know, 1.271 million, and we're trying to apportion out. You can see the two lists that are behind, the ones that we already identified as Tier 1 and some that are non-Tier 1. We've been tackling some of these. You'll notice tonight, for example, on your consent agenda, there's a roofing repair for McKinney. That's on the master list. We have a deferred maintenance plan we presented last time. That's going to tackle a lot that are on this list. So we're trying to really just delineate the one-time money and what we're going to use it for. So any direction to help with that, it would be appreciated, because we just want to get started on these projects and make this money work for our students.
Just to kind of recap for our new board members who are being hit with all of this tonight.
Sorry.
Probably not the first time, but it's before them now, and it's now part of their responsibility to help us figure out how we're going to proceed. We're talking about one-time monies in the amount of about $3,600,000. Of that amount, if you look at the first sheet, $2 million of that is going to go towards Lyndhurst heating and air conditioning, increment 3. About $348,000 will go for the Edgewater bathroom portable replacement, which leaves about 1.2, almost 1.3 million that we're asking the board to help us decide how to spend that. So that's what page 2, those are the recommendations from staff based on what we see our needs, some of which are studies that we really can't move forward with some of the projects that you may like to start until we see what the electrical capacity is at a site. Mm-hmm. Are they maxed out? Do we need to add more capacity? The ADA, we need to talk about what are those improvements that we need to do there. So from that standpoint, there are some items that need to come first, and then we can start moving through. But this is our recommendation, certainly not the final list, so that's what we're seeking input.
Just I have a quick question. Now, when you do this stuff, do you always contract it out, or do you try to get and people that are part of the school district to do as much of this as possible?
Well, we obviously, to the capacity and staffing we allow, we try to do as much in-house with maintenance. And those are usually the smaller projects. The larger projects, what we do with facilities, it's all contracted out. And those projects are overseen and managed by the Facilities and Energy Department, which is headed by Ms. Jensen. So it depends on the size and scope of the project and available staff.
Yeah.
We try to do as much, and credit to maintenance and operations and as much as possible in-house.
On the art class study, where it says $135,000 plus any improvements, any idea what the percentage of improvement may, you know, is it another $200,000 or?
I would guess millions.
A million?
Okay. Millions.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know until they went
but
in
they're,
and looked.
But based on the age
of the facilities.
And there are small things, too, that are like labeling proper things that will come part of the arc flash study, which are small and cheap. There's going to be a lot of low-hanging fruit. So, and we need to know where we're at, because some of these things, too, as we do facility projects, if we don't address the electrical, we won't be able to include it in a project that we may need to. For example, say we want to add a classroom somewhere. We might not be able to if we don't do the study first. So we're trying
Did you say there is a lot of low-hanging fruit in that arc flash probably?
There's a lot of low-hanging fruit.
I
believe there will be.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I would just say it really seems to be able to move forward on our facilities plan that we certainly have to have the ADA compliance study, the electrical system capacity, and the DSA legacy projects. We got to get those things closed out before I think we can try to move forward.
And Foothill's going to need some shade. It's not bad right now, but wait till this summer.
Why
or
they
spring.
Cut down the trees?
So, Kathleen, what if we issued umbrellas for everybody to? Is that?
So, is there anything on this recommended list that the board can't support? Maybe that's where we need to go.
So actually, Ryan, one other question. Do we have other sites, the Lyndhurst High camera upgrades, do we have other sites that have no cameras?
Most elementaries. I know the site is funding some right now. Brian's working with Cedar Lane to add some cameras. So it's mostly elementaries.
That do not.
Yeah, and I don't know, what about the high school and middle school in terms of upgrade and repair? We just did Marysville. I know facilities.
We just did recently a camera project that actually hit most of our, not most of, but all of our high school and middle schools. Lyndhurst had already done some of their cameras, so we just kind of filled in the rest. This was a couple years ago. A lot of those cameras have started to go bad. We need to go and kind of finish the job and replace what they had originally had done. We do have some elementary schools that still don't have cameras. They are starting to slowly but surely put them in place. We'll go, in some cases, one, two, or three cameras with a server with the ability to add more as more funding becomes available. But it would just be the elementaries right now that don't.
So are they most likely using that with site funds to be able to do that?
Most of the time it's site funds right now as they become available, yes. The camera project that we did at the high schools and the middle schools was not site funds. That was actually, I believe, COPS dollars that we used to fund that particular project. But at the elementary schools, most of it is site funds when they are available.
Yes, maybe I just wonder, should we look at schools that have no cameras before we try to upgrade some that already have some working, and before we get one site done really well, we got other sites that have nothing.
We tend to look at the need for cameras, not based on whether you have them or not. Are there issues going on campus that we need to be able to go back and pull footage and see what actually happened? That's why we have them at our high schools and our intermediate schools, because we tend to have more issues with things that we need to go back and recapture. Cameras, as wonderful as they are, may be a deterrent, but they don't stop it. So we don't have someone sitting manning the monitor watching all of the cameras. It's typically we go back in and pull footage and look to see what happened. So as nice as it is for every school to have cameras, some elementary sites don't have as great a need. They don't have the vandalism. They don't have the disciplinary issues. that warrant the same level of camera coverage as a high school or a middle school?
When we did the last camera project, we started with safety first, which sites were where safety is going to be the biggest issue. The high schools, obviously, just because of the age of the students, what can happen, safety was number one on the list. After that, we went through sites that had continuous vandalism coming. That was going on. We had a couple of elementary schools. Olivehurst was getting hit quite a bit, so we were able to hit at least some spots like that. But we started with safety first, and safety, when it comes to cameras, is more important, we feel, at the high school and middle school than it is at the elementary schools, because we just don't have that same, let's just call it student interaction sometimes, that we have to worry about. So.
So I'm hearing that the board can support, at least some of you have mentioned, so I'm going to take the leap that the majority of the board can support the ADA, the electrical system upgrade capacity survey, the DSA legacy projects, the shade structure. I didn't hear anyone say pro or con on the district irrigation automation, or just had one comment on the Lindhurst camera. But
and yes. Just a point of clarification, I think I kind of oversold the upgrade part, but on the arc flash, it really is focused on the safety part. So a lot of it is current capacities and what's going on to make sure there's no danger issue. So I think I misspoke a little bit on that, so I want to be clear. But yes, these are our recommendations, and you know, if there's anything that isn't covered here, you know, from the list, that's what we kind of wanted to know.
And these are, again, the one-time funds that we do currently have. There'll be other funding that will come along that we'll be able to use for some of the other projects, because as you can see, our list is very long and it's growing, and it's going to grow as we do these other studies.
And
guaranteed.
Regardless of money we get from the state, based on our current kind of budgeting, as we look forward for 17-18, there's some programs that are going to be kind of reinstituted that we will have some facility money for next year as well.
So, Ryan, I did hear you say a comment on the district irrigation automation, probably 20 to 50. We're probably at least on the 50 to 70 side. Because I'm thinking automation, you're probably not going to be able to use the same sprinklers. You're going to have to replace the issue. So $20,000 seems like it'd only do a study of what you need to have done for a
automation. We'll take 50.
What?
We'll take 50. I mean, I think...
Right. And it can, it may not do the automation at every single site, so just know we'll start. It's a start. And as additional funds are identified, we can certainly grow that scope. But right now, there are so many needs that to pour it into just one item, I don't know. But that's certainly, if the board would like to increase that, we'd be happy to take that increase.
And these are estimates, too. These are initial estimates. So we're trying to give you guys a basic idea. If there's things that, if we can cover these in at least a substantial form and we have some money, we'll try to move on. So we're just trying to see if these are things that you agree are, you believe are high priority, or are there other things that we didn't. So that's why we brought them forward.
Okay, I'm not hearing any major objections to any of the items, so we will move forward with the items listed here, and just know we'll be back with more, and then the board can maybe get into really looking at the items that we work so hard to put on the list that we want to see taken care of as we identify those funds.
So I got one quick question for Travis. Are most of our schools plumbed for so that we can put automated systems in? Because depending on how they're configured underneath the ground, you can only run so many heads off of one valve. So if you go automated, I mean, depending on if the plumbing's there to support it.
At what we say starting at conservatively at $20,000, it really depends on what sites we're going. So it's kind of a jump-off point. Like you said, we're not then looking at booster pumps or anything like that that we're getting into. So the 20,000 is kind of a conservative number to start out on automation on some of these smaller sites. But as you know, as we get into larger sites in high schools, junior highs, larger fields, as we're going to automation and we're doing different valves in different areas, you might need booster pumps. You might have to upsize the pipes. Some of them you might even have to downsize. I mean, just depending on the whole thing. So when we say 20,000 is a jump off point, it really depends on how far we want to dive in. So we kind of want you to have that broad kind of idea which direction we're going to go. But just like with any other project, it's the start-off point. And like you said, we peel the pages back. We kind of see where we're getting into.
So, Travis, maybe what we need to do is add plus any improvements under that line also.
Right. It's just kind of like I said, most of these things we start looking into.
Just
we never
put a
know.
Plus.
Yeah, and just put a big plus behind everything. Right.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate your direction. And so now Mr. DiGiulio will run with it from here. So he'll keep us updated. And that's the end of my superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. Approval of minutes, minutes from the regular board meeting of November 15th, 2016. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor? One, two, three.
Four.
Four yes, all abstain, and then two no votes. Mr. Allison and
we can't vote on that.
Right. You cannot, yeah.
But next.
I abstain. Four yes, one abstention. Oh, okay. Three abstentions, okay.
Mr. Boom, if you would, maybe before we move, Kathy, I know you have school again tomorrow, and if you're really excited, you could stay for the rest of the meeting, but, you know, by all means. Thank you.
Okay, consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent?
If no one wants anything pulled, I'll make a motion to approve consent.
Motion by Mr. Harris to approve the consent. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. And all those in favor? Seven yes. Move on to new business. This is resolution 2016-17-10. Excuse board members attendance at meeting of the Board of Trustees. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
One, two, three. Mr. Allison, four. Ms. Scott? Okay, five yes. Nays? Mr. Rasmussen, no, and I'll abstain. Business services, number one, 2016-17, first interim budget. Mr. DiGiulio?
They must have known you were coming, Ryan. Everybody left, man.
Oh, so everybody's so excited I was going to present the 10 to 18 budget information that they left. So I apologize. I was going to have a soundtrack like Jolie, but we'll just stick to the numbers. We'll keep it quick, and we'll make sure we focus on the important points. So as I go through it, and some of you obviously are more familiar than others, feel free to stop and ask me a question at any time. I just want to make sure that we're clear on everything that's presented. And it's again, this is a summary of the more detailed book that you have in front of you that has the full first interim report. So we look at this is my famous slide every time, kind of show you the budget reporting cycle. We're very early in the process under the 16-17 adopted budget along with the LCAP, which is incorporated into the budget in terms of certain expenditures. And we're just looking at the results through October, and we're in December now, and we have a lot more to go. Governor's budget proposal for 17-18 will come out in January. We'll give you an update in February. Second interim report, which will have results through January 31st. We'll work on preliminary LCAP and budget until we get the May revise from the state, and finally present the budget for the next year. Then we'll show the results from the prior year, and we'll just keep this wonderful cycle going. Revenue update, there's a not a lot of change from last time, just a little bit, and I'll get into this particulars. But again, we have some one-time money this year, so the other state revenues are a little higher than usual. And the lion's share, again, comes from the local control funding formula, which is our state funding. So kind of looking at the differences we had. So we adopted the budget in June, and we haven't had any large changes other than other local revenue, that $0.9 million, and she left, I tell her, but that was mainly the hardship funds we received for the first increment at Lyndhurst. So that's more one-time money in coming to replace one-time money we spent. So those efforts got most of our increase in revenues. Other than that, there may be slight changes in LCFF and federal during the year, but we haven't seen any enough to make a significant impact. And kind of seeing how we break down our expenditures again, most go to salaries and benefits, and you can see there's a lot more in the capital outlay than typical because we're doing a lot of those one-time facility projects out of the general fund as opposed to doing it out of a bond. And other operating expenditures, some of them, part of the capital outlay goes to that. Looking at expenditure.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Go ahead.
About your capital outlay? I mean, it's over $5 million difference between your original estimate and now. And can you get a little more detailed about where that?
All we did was budget, exactly. And so I'll get into it. I have a slide that gets into it. But all we did was budget all the capital projects that came out. So I'll get into that. And you'll see there's that big 5.2. Books and supplies, a lot of that was budgeting the carryover that the sites had in the various different, their site discretionary, their lottery. And I'm going to show you the changes in a little bit more to kind of show you the ongoing surplus versus what's going to be reported. And a lot of that's one time. So here's the big slide that kind of really shows how things are moving since adopted budget. And you can see there's a lot of ongoing adjustments. So ongoing adjustments, these are the revenues and expenses that you'll see year after year after year. They're built on the budget to continue to move forward. So we started adopted budget with a $5.8 million surplus ongoing. Because pretty much at adopted budget, we stripped all the one-time. We're just focused on ongoing. And this is on the unrestricted side, because again, restricted monies carry over. They have a purpose. They'll be spent down. So on the unrestricted side, we had a slight increase in LCFF funds, slight. Increase of indirect costs from restricted programs. So that's money coming from those restricted monies and moving it back into unrestricted to pay for the administration of those programs. And then salaries and benefits. So we've had a little bit more add on the revenue side. The only thing is we had a little bit of increase in the benefits side. So when you look at it, you say, well, 5.8, look at what's happened on the ongoing side. That net effect, we're actually at about a $6.4 million surplus on an ongoing basis. The big reason we have the $5.2 million that you see on capital outlay on that last slide comes in that facilities capital project. So Lyndhurst High School, we budgeted for increment 2, which we're currently working on the HVAC. We've budgeted now for Edgewater, which we put in the report, but the Edgewater restroom building, which is going to be a brand new building adjacent to where they have that portable building, but it'll be a permanent structure. It's prefab, but it's permanent structure. And then we're going to have, that was also some monies too that we had budgeted back to finish our BOGA legacy. We made some equipment purchases. We bought 5 buses. And we've made a couple things that we had budgeted in other areas that we moved to do some projects at, kind of excess that we did some projects at some sites, like to work on the Marysville High lockers, and then we bought cafeteria. So like our business services, extra money we had last year, we used that to buy cafeteria furniture for Yuba Gardens because it was just breaking down. And then you'll see the carryovers I talk about. So most of it has to do with those specific capital projects. And you'll look at it and you'll be like, well, you only have a surplus of $650,000. We understand that. We're spending down one-time money. When we came with audited actual results in September, we said, hey, we have a lot of money that's coming here, but this is one-time. It falls to the bottom line. We will spend it down. That's what we're doing. And that's why you see the big fluctuation in our actual ongoing surplus of around $6.4 million. On the unrestricted side, again, restricted purpose, they'll be spent on those things. So I talk about ending fund balance, and we started this year, where we are currently, we have about $22.6 million, but $2.1 is restricted. We have $20.5, but really there's some for economic uncertainty, which we're required by. We have assignments, which essentially is paying down the COPS, and then we have assigned some of the money that we talked about. That $1.271 million for facilities, we have it assigned. We just haven't budgeted yet because that's going to go to facility projects. And obviously, revolving cash and inventories is something that continues. So really, there's about $12.5 million unassigned. But again, one-time money. We can spend it on one-time things. It's just in our discretion. Another thing, too, is, and I like to show you the assumptions we use to kind of look forward as we look at our three-year, multi-year. We assume the same average daily attendance. We're working on the demographic report we get from SchoolWorks. That likely will be increased slightly next year. So when we come to you at second interim, we may make an adjustment upwards in 17-18. So it's looking good. We had more students this year than the prior year. So that helps us, and that's helped us in addition to the funding increases through LCFF. We've had some increases from increased students. And you'll see the gap percentages, they jump a little bit in 17-18, 18-19. We just get that straight from Department of Finance. We'll see if there's any adjustments based on the governor's proposal and or because Prop 55 is going to be extending that tax. We don't anticipate the additional revenues for that to come until 2018 because that's when they were projecting the annual income tax increase for the highest wage earners would expire. We show PERS and STIRS there just because that's up. Pension costs have gone up, and those are increasing costs we're going to experience every year, so that takes some of that additional revenue that we get. And then we look at the one-time discretionary funding. So we got a bump in 16-17. We may get some in 17-18, 18-19. I don't know because most of the projections that the governor had in the budget are not being met. They're a little behind expectations, the revenues for the state general fund. So we'll see if we get any more one-time money, but we're not anticipating any.
So, Ryan, if I could, on the STIRS and the PERS, when we went back to that pie chart that had the salaries for certificate and classified and benefits, that STIRS and PERS isn't any of those three chunks of the pie.
It's benefits.
Is it what?
They're considered statutory benefits.
Oh, it's benefits.
So your health and welfare cost, other federal costs we pay into, and then also our California statutory pension costs.
Okay. Thank you.
So it's just one of those things because we talk about every year we need to have increasing revenue. If we don't have increasing revenue, we'll have to make cuts just on the normal, not adding or doing anything because costs rise. And a big part of that has been that pension cost lately. So as we look at the multi-year projection, again, we're looking at it conservatively, and we show a surplus this year, again, of 0.7, actually about 650,000. And you see it jump to 6.8 and 5.5. You can see that the 6.4 is kind of where it really is. And we look at those out years, we're kind of stripping away that one time. We're assuming we're going to spend all that one time on the unrestricted side. You see 6.8, and then it dips to 5.5. So our low point is really more 5.5. So that's kind of where we base and where we're going to try to balance. If, for example, if we have a balanced budget and we're around 5.5 with the structural surpluses, we see it in the out year, depending on what happens again in January, anything that we don't spend that does fall to the ending fund balance, and typically we'll use it for one time. But it is our goal to try to balance the budget as closely as possible. So you'll see it going up like that. That arrow, as I said before, if it's not within this year, we come back with audited actuals. But our goal is to try to balance that arrow, not make it go up as much. We're not trying to build our reserve unless, you know, there's some things that go unbudgeted. You know, I've talked about before that there are some programs that are going to be returning, some things we need to return to. So that may take some of that ongoing budget moving next year. So, again, $6.5 million surplus, this kind of really encapsulates what the budget's showing at first interim. And it's a surplus of $5.82 million adopted, but that's primarily due to budgeting those one-time dollars. It's $5.04 for capital facilities improvement projects alone is part of that $5.2. $1.99 million towards carryovers and equipment, so it's going back to school sites, offset by a slight increase in revenue. So, recall we had $5.66 million left over in our end fund balance at unaudited actuals. We're just budgeting that money now. That's what's making that surplus go down. So we said, hey, we have this one-time money. We're going to spend it on one-time things. That's what we're doing. And it likely will become a deficit by the end of the year as we budget those other. But we're not deficit spending. Again, we're spending down one-time money. We know what our surplus is. That's why we track the ongoing versus the one-time. And we do those $1.27 million, maybe it's a little bit higher, but we budget those capital projects, you'll see it go into the negative. And we'll continue to add budget in the ongoing side, too, because we know there's that ongoing surplus, as we need operational improvements to help service our students. And also, if there's negotiated settlements with our bargaining units before the end of the year, we'd obviously anticipate making changes on the ongoing basis. So again, ongoing basis is 6.4, and we're going to continue to work towards the rest of this year and the 17-18 LCAP and adopted budget. So updated the calendar, and I already mentioned the Prop 55 impact. So you kind of see as we're going, we're really starting to get into budget LCAP season. So we've been meeting with some sites, answering some questions about the budget and LCAP, and we'll continue to do that. The proposal will be released next month from the state for their 17-18 budget. We'll bring an update in February. Well, we're going to start where we have our LCAP budget committee, where we work to see how we're going to prioritize now that we kind of have an outlook for 17-18, how we're going to prioritize things and what we've done in the past. So we have our first meeting in February. We're trying to consolidate them a little bit so they're more efficient, but we have our first meeting in February, a second meeting in March when I also present second interim, a third meeting, hopefully a final meeting in April, so we can draft that LCAP, communicate that with all our stakeholders and get input so we can make final revisions based on that and the May revise from the governor, and then come back to you and propose the 17-18 budget. So that's how we're looking through the rest of the year. So, again, we're in a good financial position, but we have to continue to be mindful of ongoing and one-time. I mentioned a couple programs that we need to bring back in 17-18. We have the Air Force Junior ROTC coming to Lyndhurst. Based on past expenditures, probably around $150,000 per budget. So I don't want to, if I budget that on something else ongoing this year, it's taking that away from next year that we'll have to have that placeholder. We have some startup funds through the LCAP that will help us get started, so one-time purchases. And then also we really need to push to get the routine restricted maintenance up to 3%. We have to do that by the beginning of next decade. I'm just, depending on economic conditions, which we haven't had obviously an economic downturn in a while, but cyclically it happens at least once a decade, traditionally and historically, economically. We'd like to do that sooner rather than later to make sure that we budget those funds so that we have that, because our schools really need it. And, you know, we're still working at a deficit in terms of how much we spend on our schools maintenance-wise compared to where we started before that Great Recession at the end of last decade. So that's about $850,000 that we want to budget in 17-18. So if we don't spend that, then that would go to the ending fund balance. Hopefully we can use that for one-time purchases.
I have one more question about that. You know, when I was going through the budget, and I realize, you know, I'm a neophyte here. And so when I was going through it, I noticed that from your original budget to recently, there was a $1 million textbooks and instructional materials cost $1 million more than originally planned. And I was just wondering what that was.
That's the cost that the publishers require for the materials. Language arts is historically more expensive.
So is that a new program that
has special education materials and EL, English learner materials as well.
Okay.
So it's not just reading and language arts. So it's right. Broader.
I just wanted to know where it came from.
Yes, we're way overdue for our textbooks. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that money's part of the LCAP, so we put away a certain amount every year. So as it accumulates, then we spend it on those adoptions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Motion.
Okay, any other questions? Is there a motion? Motion made by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes.
And before board members leave, you need to see Lisa to sign some documents. So don't leave without seeing Lisa to sign whatever she has over there for you.
Okay, that was the last item on the agenda, so meeting's adjourned.